Well, happy 5th of July. How was your 4th? Did you guys have a good time? Good, good. I didn't get high on the 4th of July. I didn't do that. But I did get trashed. Okay, I had 2 pieces of pie. Oh man, I woke up so rough this morning. But anyhow, guys, welcome so much, and thanks for coming here, guys. This is a fun day. We're starting a new series. It's not new in so much as we've done this for the past 2 years, but it's new because today's the first week of this. It's called Behind the Music. And behind the music, what we're hoping to do is to just take a look at these songs that we sing in worship, these things that we take part in, and find out what makes it a worship song and learn a little bit about the song, about how did we even come to have this song and what makes this a song that we would sing in our church. You see, for every season, there is a song, right? For every season, there is a song. And not every song is what we would call a worship song. There's songs that we sing at ceremonies and events. They kind of memorialize those events. And I remember the song my wife and I had at our wedding. I mean, it was a significant moment, a significant song. Songs are amazing. Music's amazing in that it helps us kind of bring form and understanding the sentiments and the significance of what's taking place in our lives. Music's just awesome. It's just amazing how God has given us this gift of music. But a worship song is a little different. A worship song is one that has a specific purpose and intentionality about it. And we're going to talk about that. But for every season, there is a song. 1979. I know some of you guys are like, I wasn't even alive yet. But hey, 1979 I was, and it was an incredible year in my life. I lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and it was in this year that the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Pittsburgh Pirates would both win national championships. What a banner year. It was also a year I graduated from high school, and it was kind of a cool year for me. It was a great day to be alive. But when the Pirates won the World Series, it was awesome. It was special. See, if you don't know much about Pittsburgh, just let me tell you real quick. It's a unique city in that it has little pockets of ethnic communities. Right on the north side of Pittsburgh is what we call the predominantly Jewish community of Pittsburgh. And these people are amazing. Their dedication to family and their love of God is incredible. And most of the hospitals were found up in this part of town. Then the south side of Pittsburgh. Right? I mean, this is where the Polish community, the Irish community, the Italian communities, the food was amazing. I mean, this was an incredible part of Pittsburgh. Love the south side of Pittsburgh. I lived in the South Hills, which was kind of a hodgepodge of people. But when the Pirates won the World Series, we all went downtown Pittsburgh, right, and just celebrated. If you had a Pirates jersey on, this was what was cool. You were family. It didn't matter what part of the city you lived in. You were family. And this band by the name of Sister Sledge, what a great name for a band, Sister Sledge, they came out with this song, We Are Family, right? We all know that song. That's from Pittsburgh. Anyhow, but we knew that we were family, and it united us. And then on a more difficult note, in 1999, Columbine, Colorado, a tragedy hits our nation, a shooting in one of our schools where 12 students and one teacher were killed. I was just going into youth ministry at this time, and it was hard. Our youth ministry was just really impacted. See, in 99, school shootings weren't commonplace. And so we just rallied together as a youth ministry. And Michael W. Smith came out with a song called This Is Your Time. And it was an anthem for us to sing together. Say, yeah, this is not something we're going to take lightly. We have to do something about this. We have to make known that this is not right in our world. See, music has a way of uniting us and helping us to relate with each other. It's incredible how music is a gift, again, a gift of God. And for every season, there is a song. So here we come to Waymaker. So let me just kind of give you some information about Waymaker. Waymaker was created by a worship leader named Sinach. She is an African woman, a beautiful African woman, lives in Lagos, Nigeria, and she is the senior worship leader of Christ Embassy Church, a big church in Nigeria, in Lagos. And her heart for God is only matched again, by the love of, I mean, of how much she loves to worship God and to share in worship. But it wasn't until, I mean, that was in 2015 that this song was originally penned, but it wasn't until 2019 that it became popular in the United States. And that was when Michael W. Smith would cover this song, and a Christian rock band named Leland out of Baytown, Texas, who was a part of Bethel Music, they would also cover this song. And then it became very popular toward the latter part of 2019. And along comes 2020. Wow, what a year. We're introduced to a coronavirus, right? In late January, February. And it seems like in a matter of days, not weeks, but a matter of days, our world was turned upside down. What we used to take for granted was just going to work day every day and coming to church on Sundays. We were told you can't do that anymore because there's a deadly virus in our world. Not just in the United States, but in our world. Our whole world was turned upside down. And it created a great deal of confusion and anxiety and concern. And then right on the heels of that, we're home, and we're just thinking we're going to get a handle on this thing. And on our TVs and on our monitors, we witness the murder of a man by someone whose job it was to protect and to serve. And we're trying to make sense of this. How does this possibly happening in our world? What is going on? And then the protest began, and you're right. That needs to be protested. That is wrong, and the racial inequality in our nation and in our world needs to be dealt with, and it's time we do something about it. So the protests began, but right when the protests began, then they were hijacked by people who want to create incredible civil unrest, who want to steal and destroy and to hurt and to harm. Somehow they felt like this was justified, and here we are, trying to wrestle through this and catch up with it all because it's all happening so fast, trying to make sense of it all. Then we come to church, which we get to come back to church, right? And we hear this song, Waymaker. And we're really, if we're honest, saying, God, which way is up here? What's going on? Verses 1 and 2 of this song are songs of just giving worth. I mean, how many times have we heard, I worship you. I worship you. This song has a lot of repetition in it. It definitely does. And you would ask, why? I mean, how many times are we going to say this? Well, it has repetition in because just like in Scripture, when you repeat something, it's intended to do so because of its significance. You hear, very truly, truly, I say unto you. There's two trulys there because it's like, pay attention, this is significant. So when you hear us saying over and over again, I worship you, we're over and over, this is important, I want you to hear this. You have incredible worth in my life. And I'm not worshiping what you do for me, I'm not worshiping your creation, I'm not worshiping anything, but who you are. God, I worship you. Lyrics 1 and 2. Lyrics 3, well, see, they're a little problematic. That one's a little problematic. And let me just explain briefly, only because it says in verse 3 that every heart will be healed, right? Healing every heart. And every heart or every life transformed. See, when you use the word every, that could be a bit of a problem, you see, because I'm pretty sure there's someone here today that maybe came here because they were curious. For whatever reason, I'm glad that you're here, but may not be in a right relationship with God because they just haven't settled on who Jesus Christ is. See, take a look at Matthew 7. Jesus speaking, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Because apart from Jesus Christ, your heart's not going to be mended. Your life will not be transformed in such a way that puts you into a right relationship with God. It can be, but you have a role to play in that. Adam and Eve. It starts with them. See, they were in the garden walking intimately with God. But at one point, they decided, we're going to go our way. We're going to do it our way. They were the first ones to sing, I did it my way. Because they rebelled. They said, God, I know you had something in store for us, but we're going to go this way. And your miracles, well, we've been around them enough to where we're not really noticing them anymore. Sound familiar? You know, they're not that impressive anymore. Promise keepers, because I'm pretty sure that when God said to them, don't eat of this fruit, of this tree, they may not said so, but they nodded, oh, okay. It was a promise they made to God, but they broke it. They decided to do it their own way. And they willingly chose to leave the light of the garden to go see what's going on in the dark. Go play in the dark for a while. Scary, guys, because we all have free will. God gave us free will. One theologian said it this way. For God to force, to make someone who really doesn't want to be around him or to know him, for God to force them to spend eternity with him in heaven, that would be an incredible, unloving thing to do. That doesn't sound like our God. See, God never forces anyone to spend any time with him apart from them choosing to do so. He won't do it. So we all have free will. Adam and Eve had free will. But God has given us this incredible way back to him. He has made a way. But like Adam and Eve, we have a choice to make. Is it his way or is it our way? What will it be? If you hear anything else from today, please make sure you hear this. You cannot make the declarations in the song Waymaker. You cannot proclaim them as truth in your life until you first declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can't do it. You can have the sentiments of the song. You can have all of that. Because it is, I mean, it's a driving song. But you can't have God apart from Jesus. You can't do it. So a worship song is one that agrees with Scripture and unites us to God. It's our intention, our motive for singing it. So let's take a look. John 14:6. Jesus, he says, I am the way maker. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. It certainly aligns with that scripture. See, this is where Jesus gets in trouble, by the way, in our culture. Because we live in a culture, the greatest value in our culture today is tolerance. The last thing you want to be called is intolerant. Which is really weird, because there was a day in our life when we understood tolerance to be agree to disagree. That I will lay down my life for your right to say what you want to say, even if I disagree with it. That's what being an American meant. But today, we can't do that. It seems really strange that today, if you disagree with me, well, that's intolerant. How could you be that way? So strange. But Jesus says, I am the only way. How intolerant of him. He is the rock. He is the God who says, I am the way. And this is, we can't have any gray area here, guys. You need to know this as simply as I can say it. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. And we need to be a body of Christ who is willing to say, whatever the consequence, whatever the price, whatever may come, I'm going to proclaim that as truth. And I'm going to live my life in such a way. Waymaker proclaims that and agrees with that. Matthew 19:26. Incredible story of a rich man who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God? Jesus, of course, tells him, simple enough, just sacrifice everything you give it away, and come follow me. To which the rich man, he just walks away. He said, I can't do that. Well, why couldn't he do that? Because it was impossible for him to do that. In his own ability. Jesus looked at them when they said, why couldn't he do it? He says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. The disciples came to him later and says, then who then can be saved? We don't get this, Jesus. If we can't do it, if we can't... He says, you guys don't get it, do you? I'm God, and I save. You don't save yourselves. Let's get this clear. That's impossible for you to do. You can't save yourselves. I am the way. I am the miracle worker. Our next verse in Numbers 23:19. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? How are you doing at keeping your promises? I'm not doing so well. I wish I were doing better, but I know there are promises in my life that I'm not keeping and that I haven't kept. Once again, God, by definition, a miracle is that which only God can do. Okay, so I need a miracle in my life if I have any hope or chance of keeping my promises. See, we think of God and we think of Jesus as the perfect human. He's so much more than that. He is so much more than that. With God, all things are possible, not just some things. And he is capable of keeping his promises. He is capable of making a promise and keeping them. And then John 12:46. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Jesus proclaimed himself as light in a dark world. So when's the last time you were in the dark? I mean, really dark. Right, I was talking to Larry Schmidt outside. He said he was in Jewel Cave up in South Dakota, and they took him down into this cave, and they turned all the lights off, and you literally can't see your hand in front of your face. I was out in the woods camping one time, and it was really dark. There was no moon like there was last night. The moon was awesome, right? Last night was pretty. But this night, it was dark, dark. Cloud cover, no stars, no nothing. It was dark. And I thought it would be cool to maybe see how far I could get away from my camp and find my way back. That was really dumb. Don't do that. That's not a good idea. That's really dumb. Because you get out there a little ways, and you're like, okay, this is a little bit farther. And then it's like, I don't really remember how to turn around and find my way back. And then all the noises of the woods start really getting loud, and you're like, what was that? What was that? But here's what I can remember. It was scary. It was scary. I was afraid, genuinely afraid, just by myself, but in a dark, dark place. But more so than that, there's a season of my life I'm not very proud of where addiction ruled my life. Where I walked outside of a relationship with God and I was trying to do it my way, I was hopeless. I was failing. I was desperate. And I was afraid. And in my moment, I cried out to God and said, okay, God, if you don't show up, I don't see me making it. And God, in his own loving way, said, if you'll just ask, Harold. So my confession of faith was, fine, God, you do it. You take over. I quit. I can't do it. And he did. And that, guys, I've got to tell you, that moment of dark confusion, all of a sudden I had light that I didn't have before. Now, I didn't have all the answers. I still have far from having all the answers. But here's what God gave me, the next step. He said, just do this. And then I'm going to give you the next one. I'm not going to tell you I'm just going to tell you just one step at a time, Harold. And trust me. Cry out to me. Depend upon me. And watch me bring light into your world. So how do we want to wrap this up, guys? A worship song is one that unites us with God and that we can relate to as the body of Christ in one voice and sing unto him as an audible prayer. An audible prayer that we can have sincerity of heart. Now, if you're here today and you know that you're not in a right relationship with God because you haven't made peace with God through Jesus, I want to invite you today, please consider doing so. That's been my prayer coming into today. Is that if one were to say today, I can't do it. I am broken. I sin. And I can't fix it. And so God, I believe that what Jesus did on the cross is my only hope. So I receive it. I ask for it. And then having done so, I confess and I live my life in such a way that demonstrates that confession of faith. So yesterday was Independence Day. Today's the 5th of July. I'd like you to consider this. Just like I just asked someone, every one of us, I'd like, could this be our day of dependence? Could this be the day that we declare that I am not independent? I am dependent. Because if God doesn't show up, I have no hope. But because He did show up, I have the hope of eternity, now and forevermore. This could be your day. Heavenly Father, that is who you are. And we are so grateful. We worship you, God. All glory, honor, and praise be unto you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for loving us best. And so, Lord, as we leave here today, may we be a people who will boldly proclaim the truth, the way, the love of God. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.